What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Pod is my witness. I'm your host, Dr. Keenan Davis. Episode 4. I missed y'all, man. For real. I missed y'all. It's been a minute. But as luck would have it, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot to catch up on. So let's get after it. Today, we're going to talk about two things that have been going viral. Social media, traditional media, really impacting the way that we look at things, the way that we look at people, and the way that we enjoy our version of a quality of life. Number one, COVID-19, the resurgence. This time it has a name, and it's everywhere. It's called the Delta variant. A lot of questions, a lot of concerns, a lot of different people and versions of what the vaccine and the virus really are. Now, full disclosure. My doctorate degree is not in medicine. It's in law and public policy, which means I just have a little bit of common sense. That's all. But what I do is research as much as I possibly can. And I've been fortunate to be surrounded by some of the elite medical minds. And I juxtapose my research, my thoughts, my questions inside of the room that I'm surrounded by. And I get clarity on some of the confusion that even I have when it comes to COVID-19 and a vaccine, but more importantly, the new Delta variant, right? And then secondly, I want to talk about mental health, specifically mental health in the Black community. It's been a longstanding stigma. It's been something that hasn't really been discussed outside, and there haven't been solutions produced inside of the community. Something's got to change. I say right now, today is a good day to start changing, bringing some solutions to a long-standing challenge that many generations have faced. So without further ado, let's get after it. COVID-19, Delta variant. Some of the questions I've seen this week circulating social media specifically been, so why has the government all of a sudden come up with a cure for COVID-19, but the government can't come up with a cure for cancer or diabetes? Great question. First off, a vaccine is not a cure. That's number one. Because as we know, and we're seeing right now, viruses mutate. And they take on a different life of their own, various iterations before we really get a handle on said vaccine. So said virus, apologies. And secondly, cancer is not one virus. Cancer is a disease that has presented itself over 100 times. So there isn't one specific kind of cancer that researchers, scientists, clinicians, and practitioners are trying to cure. There are so many different kinds and types of cancer. Another thing with cancer is also environmental. Environmental meaning you could get cancer, unfortunately, from secondhand smoke. You could get cancer from being in a neighborhood underdeveloped, marginalized, subjugated to industrial resources that have cancer-producing chemicals, unfortunately, right? And we see that a lot in third world countries. We see that a lot in socioeconomically challenged environments. And lastly, with cancer, unfortunately, is the genetic aspect of it. You can literally be born into cancer traits, and it can be passed down from someone within your family tree. But COVID, the coronavirus, and the new Delta variant, that's not genetic. The Delta variant, that's not something that is environmental. The Delta variant is passed from one person to another person. And that individual, through breathing, can give this deadly virus to another person. Now, I feel for the political or the politicizing of the coronavirus. And I understand that. Whether you've been on the left or you've been on the right, this has been at the center of politics. And as a result, there is a swath and a bevy of individuals who can't see and get past the political actors that have stood for states' rights, privacy, and freedom versus government intervention and do it for patriotism and the sake of, you know, we're all in this together, that mentality. And so now it's become a conversation or lack thereof of people who have gotten vaccinated. And unfortunately, they have a hard time communicating with the people who are unvaccinated, because the people who are vaccinated have made that decision. Some of them, 14%, have made a permanent decision. Hell or high water, they won't get vaccinated. But there's another 86% of the unvaccinated population that's still on the fence. But the vaccinated people are not using a communication strategy that's really welcoming to the people who are on the fence. Keep it real. It's become begrudging and degrading, and it's taken on a whole nother life of its own, kind of like the North against the South a little while ago. I have my mindset, you have your mindset, and nobody can meet in the middle. Now, obviously, if you're vaccinated, the middle is getting vaccinated, right? But the process isn't as easy as that for some people. And I believe that there can be an improvement in conversation between those who have been vaccinated, believe in the vaccine, fear COVID-19, and the way that we communicate with the unvaccinated, specifically the 86% that's on the fence. A little grace, a little mercy, and a little kindness can help with curiosity, bringing clarity to that curiosity and getting a commitment to the vaccine if that's the desired outcome. And I believe at this point, that is the desired outcome. I want to talk about why it's so difficult in the Black community, the brown community, and the low-income, socioeconomically challenged portion of the country. Question has come up. So why is the government all of a sudden trying to save my life? Y'all left me for dead for generations, but now you care about me. Not necessarily, meaning it's not that people just care about you all of a sudden. Like, don't get too high on yourself. The same people that was leaving you for dead, if that's your mindset, they still leaving you for dead, right? However, you can now kill them too. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference between you being poor, keep it 100. You being subjugated and marginalized and socioeconomically challenged doesn't affect someone who is wealthy. They never come to your neighborhood. They never come to your side of town. They never interact with you unless they're employing you, and they still are distanced from you, right? However, with COVID-19, wealth doesn't really protect you like that, because as long as the virus has a fighter's chance, especially if it gets an opportunity to mutate, then the wealthy people can't do wealthy stuff because the virus is lurking. They can't enjoy the $300, $400, $500 meals. They can't enjoy the $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 trips. They can't live the quality of life that they can afford, that they become accustomed to. For the simple fact, because the virus don't care about your wealth. The virus just cares about having the space to move around. That's why you see a high level concern between the haves and the have-nots. Because the haves want to keep living their life, and the have-nots, in their mind, are coming between that. When we come back from commercial break, we're going to talk about mental health, specifically mental health in the Black community. Commercial. Back from commercial break. Thank you for sticking in to the second part of this conversation. As we've talked about the COVID-19 variant Delta, and we've also talked about some of the questions that have been circulating social media, we also want to give equal attention to the mental health crisis that we've seen come to a boil at the 2021 Olympics. Obviously, world-class gymnast and Olympian Simone Biles, having pulled out of various parts of the competition due to mental health challenges. Naomi Osaka, one of the leading tennis stars in the world, openly discussing her challenges with mental health. And then Sha'Carri Richardson, a sprinter from LSU, my alum, as you guys know, having the challenges with her mental health struggles, dealing with both sickness and death in her family during the highest levels of competition. I've seen people really hard on these athletes, feeling like you're a professional athlete, you're a top flight talent. How dare you take time away from your gift to deal with emotional trauma? How dare you break down and show weakness in the midst of a career-defining opportunity? Where's the empathy? Like, for crying out loud, where is empathy? Like, for all of us to sit here and believe, first off, most of us, none of us have ever been a world-class athlete. Hell, most of us haven't even played since high school. We have no idea, no clue what it takes to push emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, through injury, through despair, through defeat, through triumph, at the level that these Olympians and athletes are pushing themselves. How dare us, especially the Black community, look at what's taking place with Naomi and Simone and Sha'Carri, and not show them some type of care and concern, but only ridicule and guilt. It's very disappointing, but it's a longstanding challenge and a longstanding trauma that our community has never, ever dealt with. We all had the crazy uncle. I'm talking about crazy as a Bessie bug. That's my Southern roots coming out, for real. Like, we would be like, keep him in the closet or in the basement, or like, don't never come out because you know he crazy. Throw it off. We all had the neighborhood person that just everybody was, you knew he or she wasn't, had some kind of breakdown in life. And we just kind of like literally put it away in the corner as if A, that person didn't matter, and B, there was no help for that person anymore. And I think that this is a time in the history of our society where mental health is now and forevermore being at the forefront of physical challenges that we need to address, because the mind has never been given the same kind of attention that other physical challenges have been given. Someone tears an ACL, ruptures an Achilles, breaks ribs. We are somehow accustomed to showing that person empathy. But when a person's mind, which we can't see inside of their mind, is injured, is ruptured, is torn, we've too long not given that person their rightful due and help. Well, now I hope that we're finally going to have these conversations in our community. Someone said to me earlier today that a slave was a product, right? A slave wasn't a person, it's a product. And as a product, you couldn't have a mental health day. You couldn't ever say that, hey, I don't feel like being a slave today. I'm not in it. So that has never been forwarded to us, even though we've come from a legal standpoint, we become an entire human being, right? Not a fifth, not a third, not a portion of a human being, right? But we become a whole person legally. The empathy within our community has never become whole. Let me run it back. We still don't give each other within our community the same grace that perhaps we could and should give one another, because we are still broken down from generations ago from being not whole. So, you know, we're getting there, but we're not there yet. And so when you look at us and you say, well, why aren't Black people showing empathy? Because we weren't all the Black person you see today. Every day, we're becoming more and more psychologically stronger. We're becoming more and more, generation after generation, acclimated to our newfound pursuit of freedom. But it's a work in process and progress. And it's not something that will happen overnight. And that's something that we recognize, we're working through, but we haven't gotten there yet. I believe that having high-profile individuals who have been brave, and I mean Simone and Naomi and Richardson, you are so brave. And you've done something bigger than produce a gold medal, right? Which is, you've helped start the healing process for an entire community of people who have been broken down for centuries. And now is an opportunity for us to rise up, be strong, be healthy in mind, body, and spirit, to assume the rightful place in society as not only contributors, but leaders, and not just leaders, but owners, and to do so with sustainability and scalability. But in order to be the people that I believe we were commissioned to be, people who can contribute at a high level throughout global society, we have to be extremely healthy, not just in our body, not just in our spirit, but also in our mind. The Delta variant is coming. It's here, but it's coming. Florida, work record, 21,000 plus cases in a day. The worst day it's had in the history of the COVID-19 pandemic, it had it this week. The country, over 100,000 cases a day and climbing. Modelers and epidemiologists have suggested that the next 4 or 5 weeks by Labor Day could be a pivotal point in what the entire year will look like, whether our children at school will be able to have any kind of hybrid or in-person connection, if our businesses, our economy will have any opportunity to run at a level in which stimulus injections aren't needed. If those who are in a very questionable living situation with rent moratorium, and there's a policy divider that's creating obviously an emotional and very psychologically damning situation, because with COVID, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because you get kicked out of your place. Now you're put into a world that's claustrophobic and filled with the Delta. And if you're not kicked out of your place, you're hoping that you have an extended moratorium, because obviously the economic windfall that comes with the pandemic has shown itself to be extremely unfriendly to a large percentage of our population. And then you have mental health and dealing with something so painful, right? So disheartening, because you can't see your mind, can't see it. Only the person that's telling you they got a headache, you got to take their word for it. It's not just taking someone's word for it. It's understanding that we're all human. And some of us, the black community, we're coming from a place where we always haven't been deemed human. And I know it's hard for many people to believe, because we've risen to the ranks of president. We've risen to the ranks of wealthy private sector. We've risen to the ranks of global statesmen and Olympian and professional athlete and humanitarian. I know we've had some absolute breakthroughs in society, but don't let the breakthrough disregard the breakdown, because many of us are hurting. Many of us are pleading for help. We need each other. We also need you. We need to show empathy to one another. We need everyone to extend grace and compassion. Episode 4, Pod is My Witness. I'm your host, Dr. Keenan Davis. I hope to see you soon. I'm with you on this journey. I'm excited to share my time, my talent, and my treasures. Good night.